Good afternoon. My name's Lori Grossfield. I work for Pend'Oreille County Conservation, and we're working on the Women's Oral History Project for DNRC. And I have with me Bonnie Cronenbusch this afternoon. It's August 10th, 2016. Bonnie, could you tell us a little bit about your beginnings on a farm and dates or anything like that would be helpful? Okay, Bonnie, go ahead.
First of all, thank you, Lori, for inviting me in. Again, my name is Bonnie Cronenbusch. I was born and raised on a farm about 7 miles east of Valier along Lake Frances. I was born March 28, 1949. My parents were Bob and Ann Norsby, and my dad farmed near the home, but he also rented about 3 miles west, and he also had land close to the Miami Hutterite colony also. I am one of three children. I have an older brother who is deceased. He was 5 years older, and I have a younger brother who is 10 years younger than I was, or that I am. And we were dryland farmers. I married Paul Cronenbusch in 1975, and he's a dryland / irrigating farmer. And I learned really fast that there's a difference between the two, and so much more work. Dryland farming is a lot of work, but irrigating raised the bar on the work level.
Very good, Bonnie. Do you remember your parents' viewpoints on conservation and agriculture, or any thoughts you might have on that generation?
My dad came from North Dakota, and farming was all he knew. His parents had both passed away by the time my dad was only 10. So Dad was a steward of the land. We picked rock actually on the 4th of July. We pulled weeds. We did anything that would increase the productivity. Dad did not believe in a lot of spraying. He mainly did a lot of summer fallowing and strip farming for conservation. Where I was born and raised was nothing but a hilltop, and so they moved a granary over, and then the home that I lived in until I was married and before I went off to college. Anyway, they built it. They planted a shelter belt. Mom put up a fence so people wouldn't drive on her lawn. You know,
it's very good.
Yeah, but again, it was dry land, and even though they lived close to the lake, they had no real access to water except deep well. My parents had a deep water well, which when I married Paul, we hauled water. So that was a whole new ball game for this young bride to not run the cistern dry.
Very good, Bonnie. I was just going to check to see if you had a fond memory about growing up and your mom and dad, maybe what you guys in your family did when your dad was out working or combining or so forth.
We were right there. We didn't take off. We didn't go. We weren't involved. We were not in 4-H. We were close. So if dad needed help or an extra driver or that kind of thing, my mom would do the driving, and I would do the cooking, and my brother, of course, my older brother, would help. My dad was 50 when my younger brother, so consequently my youngest brother didn't get in on all of the work like my older brother and I did. But fond memories were picnics. We did a lot of picnicking only about 5 miles west. And that area now is populated with 8 grizzly bears. So wow. We wouldn't be going to that place now. So
I liked when you mentioned about taking the snack.
Oh, we would, my it was important to my mom to get my dad off the combine and give him a break. So at 4 o'clock, we would head to the field no matter where dad was at, and we would take him, it could be crackers or cheese, it could be a piece of pie, it could be cookies, it would be anything to get dad off the combine and stretch his legs, and then after he had his snack, he got back on and away he went. But now my dad also, his old combine did not have a cab. Dad set out in the elements. I think he maybe had an umbrella, but that's all Dad had for comfort with his old combine.
My goodness. Is there anything you'd like to say about your grandparents? I know before you mentioned they weren't in agriculture.
No, my mom is from Minnesota, and her dad was a blacksmith, and I was like in first grade when both of my grandparents had passed away on my mom's side. My dad, again, he was an orphan at the age of 10, but had siblings, so he was the youngest, so he became the cook and bottle washer for his siblings.
That's very interesting. Did you feel anything unusual about growing up in the country or on a farm or a ranch, you know, compared to other children?
No, I guess I just took it as at face value. This is what we did. And even when I married my husband, farming is a way of life. It's not a job. And so it's one of those things that when you grow up as a farmer's daughter, when I married my husband, Paul, I just assumed that I would be there with him to help him.
It's very good. Were you involved in many extracurricular activities? And I presume you went to rural schools?
Well, Valier has an excellent school system, and there was no kindergarten at the time, but I went 12 years to Valier High, and the Depuyer kids would come for high school. So my education was in the town of Valier, but then I went to Montana State in Bozeman and received an L.Ed. degree and came back and taught for 4 years in Conrad. And then, I taught 2 years in Conrad, and then I moved to Cascade and taught 2 years. And then I came back after I married my husband, Paul, and I substitute taught for 30 years.
Wow. Okay. Let's see. I think you mentioned how you met your husband.
Blind date.
Okay. And
mutual friends.
And you've kind of mentioned how it was as a young couple just getting started on the farm. You mentioned the dry land is what you were used to as a child, and then with the irrigating. Was that the main difficulty, kind of adding that to how you ran and operated the farm?
Yes, and also we had a baler business also, so and we had cattle too. My dad had cows, but not to the degree of Paul's family, and so the part that was hard for me marrying Paul was the long hours. My dad would start his day around 6, and then at 7 o'clock at night he quit, whereas with Paul's family, they knew the lay of the land so well that Paul would be out irrigating like at 11 o'clock at night kind of thing, or he would be combining if it wasn't tough, you know, if it would thrash, okay, he would be out combining as long as he had an empty truck to fill late at night. And so that was hard for me to get used to, the fact that the long hours was really, really difficult.
That's very understandable. And then we're going to go on to your children's generation. I was just wondering of, you know, there were certain ways you divided the chores and the raising and parenting style and choices you made as a farm family with the children.
We have a son and a daughter, and neither one has chosen to come back on the farm, and that's fine because they only have one life, and if you don't love what you're doing, you know, and so as far as dividing chores, it really, we were list makers, and so they marked off things as they were little, but when they got old enough and strong enough, they were helping their dad in the field. They were carrying pipe and moving wheel lines, and they were doing a lot of activities like that. So consequently, they were not involved in as many activities as other kids were. And they were fine with it to a degree, because then later I think that was part of their decision on doing something different, because they saw how hard their dad worked, and they also saw that farming is not a 9-to-5 or a 8-to-6. It's, you know, you have peak times and you make the most of those times, and
That's excellent, Bonnie. I know recently you had a little grandson.
Yes, we do. We have a little 10-month-old Lewis. He's named after his great-great-grandfather, who was a farmer. Lewis Cronenbusch farmed, I want to say, 6-7 miles north of Conrad on... And so we were real pleased when our son and his wife decided to name him Lewis David Cronenbusch.
That's a beautiful name. We probably don't know yet if he's interested in farming or ranching, but maybe he's gotten a toy or two that...
Not yet. Well, actually, he has a rattle that's the shape of a cob of corn, and when you bite down on it, it vibrates.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm just going to go into the conservation questions because we're getting close to the end of the interview here, and it's sure been a really pleasant interview. Do you have any views you haven't already mentioned on conservation and agriculture in regard to your farm that might be important in history someday?
I think one of the things that's really come home to me because my husband is weed control. We will drive down our country road and stop and pull and dig out like goat's beard, because if you let something like that get away from you, then you have less yield, and it's... You just need to be stewards of the land. So, but again, I don't believe that spraying is all that healthy. And so to dig them out, I realize if you have a big field, you can't just dig everything out. But even, like I said, even taking them out of the bar pits and that kind of thing on a road will help. And, another thing that is so viable, and is especially this year we're seeing, is water. We've had many spontaneous rainstorms, and things are so green, and it proves how viable the water resources are. So to take care of that is so important. And like I said, the main thing is just be good steward of the land.
That's wonderful, Bonnie. I guess I'll go into the future a little. Do you have any viewpoints about agriculture and what might be coming in the future and conservation, etc.?
I guess I'm fearful of enough younger farmers taking over because it seems like the people that can afford to stay farming and things are huge farmers, and I'm just fearful of the younger generations of who's going to be able to afford to be farmers when my husband's generation no longer is. And thank heavens we have a few of the younger generation that are part of a larger, you know, farm that they will keep it going. But that is my concern. My concern for the future is who's going to be farming.
That's excellent, Bonnie. This project is to collect stories about Montana agriculture women, and it's not to diminish the importance of men, but capture the unspoken voice of the women in agriculture. And I was just going to ask, what would your mother or grandmother have thought of a oral history project like this on agriculture, do you think?
I think my mom would have been totally in favor of doing it, because she works side by side with Dad, and it's very viable.
It's very good, Bonnie. Thank you so much. You're our first woman in Pendre County, and we really appreciate the DNRC having this Montana Women's History and wish it all the best.
Thank you, and it's been enjoyable.